Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Heyo! I think this is the third Wednesday in a row. Nick Pedone, Anthony Alant in for overtime here on The Fan, hanging out with you guys till 11. Boy, do we have a lot to get into.
Does Jake have something against Wednesdays?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out in my head a little bit this morning. Like, I guess, like, Wednesday is kind of a strange day. You know, it's summer. We've got a lot of people taking vacations. And I feel like Wednesday is a strange day to take off. Because, like, maybe it breaks up the week for them. You know, like, you work Monday, Tuesday. You got Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday. But most, like me personally, I am notorious for the take a Friday off and then have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or you do the take a Friday before like a Memorial Day or a Labor Day Monday. And then you've just worked yourself a 4-day weekend instead of a 3-day weekend. But Wednesday is a weird one.
Well, he was on his cross-country baseball trip. And then he was up with the afternoon show last week because Nick was gallivanting around wherever he was going with his family. And then this week he is in Cedar Point. That's the one where I don't know if I should say that, but the afternoon show said it. But yeah, Wednesday's an odd one, but I totally agree with your add an extra day to the weekend and just get things going on Thursday.
Right, like that's usually the way that you go about it. However, now that I have the context behind that, I didn't prior have the context to where he was.
I just thought he was taking off Wednesday.
I just knew that I had to be here the last three straight Wednesdays. That's really all I knew. But now that you say that, I will give Jake Volnick a head nod. Wednesday, solid Cedar Point day.
Yes.
That's when to do a Cedar Point day, a weekday. Avoid the weekends, probably at all costs. Avoid the lines, the heat at all costs. Like today would have been a very good day to be outside, to be waiting around in lines because it wasn't that hot. It was hot, but it wasn't as hot as it's been. And I got to imagine that, you know, kids are in summer camp and stuff and that it wouldn't have been as annoying today as it would some other days.
But. Well, Nick, I don't know if you know about somebody else or some people's else that are taking a Wednesday off, but if you've seen the Guardians lineup tonight, that's what we call a transition in the radio biz. It seems like the Cleveland Guardians are taking a Wednesday off.
Yeah, this seems like a getaway day lineup. Today kind of is a getaway day, I guess, because it's a Wednesday. You got the White Sox coming up after this, though, so what are we doing? It looks like a Sunday lineup, like this lineup today. Again, Anthony, you and I continue to have, like we've been talking about, you know, three straight Wednesdays locked in this room with you for 4 hours. And three straight Wednesdays, do we continue to just rip our hair out about what are the Cleveland Guardians doing? I guess we'll open that up to the phones as well, 216-474-0092. If you would like to explain what the Cleveland Guardians are doing to myself, Nick Pedone, and Anthony Alant over the next 4 hours, the floor would be yours. They've won two in a row. Got to give them a little bit of credit there. I was surprised. I did not think that a time to win two in a row would come against the Houston Astros. I guess even a broken clock is right twice a season, and that broken clock is the Cleveland Guardians, and you look at that lineup today. Again, it's filled with a bunch of guys, in my opinion, that do not belong in Major League Baseball. Your guy, Will Wilson, makes another cameo in today's lineup.
Yeah, I told you pre-show, when I made him my guy that I was going to scream bloody murder for, it was not under the pretense that he would start 3 to 4 times a week. Like, Will Wilson and Matt Fest are fun when you see them sparingly and the game's already over. They're not fun when they're in the lineup alongside all the other guys with an OPS below 500.
So again, like, we'll give them a little bit of credit because they won two in a row. But
do
then
you
they,
really?
But then I mean, I guess you've got to acknowledge it because it's not like I guess we could be sitting here on a 12-game losing streak. And boy, did they do some things during both of those two victories that made it seem like they were trying their hardest to make it a 12-game losing streak. Steven Vogt had some questionable pinch hit decisions. There were some questionable bullpen usage decisions. But regardless, that brings us to today. And you look at this lineup, and after David Fry, who's DHing behind Santana, Ramirez, Martinez, and Kwan, it's back to the question of what are we really doing here? You've got Jonathan Rodriguez in right field. You've got Will Wilson starting second base. You got Hedgie behind the dish. And you got Brian Rocchio. I guess, okay, that's fine. You have no other option at shortstop really right now. And he's coming off of probably what was his most impactful major league game ever. I don't think that's putting that the wrong way. I think Brian Rocchio these last two games is probably the best that we've seen Brian Rocchio, maybe the best of Brian Rocchio that we ever will see in the major leagues. But really, Rodriguez, Wilson, Hedges, and Rocchio, You could change the channel. You could watch your favorite sitcom. You could go out in the other room. You could get something to drink. You go to the bathroom. Like Rodriguez, Wilson, Hedges, Rocchio, they're not fooling anybody, and they're certainly not going to fool the Houston Astros.
The lineup that you see night in and night out, and the lineup that you just read, even including David Fry 5-9, is the lineup of a team that is rebuilding. That is a lineup of a team. You look at the stats of all these different guys. That is a team that is so far away from contention. And that is a team that is not 5.5 games out of a wild card, but that has the fourth worst record in the American League. What's so odd about this season, and what's so odd about us doing a show right now after two straight wins against the Houston Astros, is we don't know really if they're, I mean, we're going to get into this, but we don't know really if they're the team that's 5.5 and 1 or 2 really good weeks away from being back in the wild card conversation, or if they're down there where they are record wise right now with the Baltimore Orioles and with the Athletics and the Chicago White Sox.
Well, the good news for them is they do have a bit of time. They've got a couple weeks to figure out what they want to be. But as we sit here a full week through the month of July, and we're still having this question as to what is this baseball team? Is this a good baseball team that can cling on to a wild card spot, or is it a bad rebuilding baseball team? To me, the fact that we're even having this conversation kind of gives me my answer to that question in and of itself. Again, we're through the first week of July and we don't know what this team is because it's been a roller coaster ride really to date.
I would argue that we do know what this team
is. That's what this team is. Correct. You're exactly correct. That's our answer right there. This is not a good baseball team. This is a baseball team that should be less than 9 months removed from an American League Championship Series appearance, and they've got really nothing to show for it. You're still sitting 6 games below 500. I get that the dream is out there to try to grab the coattails of that last wild card spot because Major League Baseball has expanded the playoffs and that last wild card spot is there, so somebody's got to take it. And if the Guardians could find a way to get hot again, perhaps it should be them. I know it's been a conversation that's been had on the station really all day, and I agree with it. There's a difference between competing to win a championship and just competing to field a team. And right now the Guardians are just competing to field a team. And I think they want to be good. They hope that they're good every single year. But the fact that you were 3 wins away from making a World Series last year, and we're currently through the first week of July, and you're 6 games below 500, you're currently not in the playoffs, and you're hoping that you find a way to get hot to grab onto the last wild card spot, you know what this team is right now.
Well, I'm glad you said the word hope, because that does feel like the big word. Like, when we look at the 2025 season, it's going to be the up and the downs of the word hope. Paul Dolan and the front office, certainly this offseason, hoped that people like Brian Rocchio and Gabriel Arias and Daniel Schneeman, especially up the middle, were going to take another step, and they didn't. They thought that Lane Thomas was going to be great and that Carlos Santana was going to continue his spot and not block anybody like CJ Cephas. And really, right now, we're talking to him about him being a quality player, but a guy that you would rather move on from at the deadline. You are hoping that your bullpen can repeat being the best bullpen in baseball last year, and they didn't. And And now we're sitting here hoping that they can turn around what looks to be a lost season, hoping for guys like Chase DeLauder, Juan Brito, and CJ Cephas. And a lot of that hope has just diminished. Like, I'm going to ask you at some point this show, what is it going to take for the Guardians to get all their fans back? They just lost 10 games. They had the worst batting statistical month in baseball in June after going 6-22. And their solution is calling up guys like Will Wilson, John Kenzie Noel, and Jonathan Rodriguez. The hope is gone with me.
Well, you know, I feel like in Cleveland sports, right? I've got certain guys that are a little bit better at delivering quotes than others. I certainly don't look to Andrew Berry for many quotes, but the one quote that he has that I agree with, and that should be a philosophy that every sports organization follows and every sports fan should follow as well, is that hope is not a strategy. And Anthony Allant, right there, you've said hope probably a dozen times. Because as Guardians fans, that's really all we have left. We have to hope, kind of blindly hope, that Aniel Martinez is the Aniel Martinez that we saw last night, not the Aniel Martinez that we saw during the month of June. We have to hope that Daniel Schneeman can become an everyday infielder, I guess. We've got to hope that Nolan Jones in the outfield of Jonathan Rodriguez and John Kenzie Noel, if he works his way back up here and into the starting lineup on a regular basis, can figure things out and produce runs. That's all we really have to do at this point as Guardians fans, is to just put our, you know, Cleveland Guardians red and blue colored glasses on and just pretend that all of this is fine and all of this is okay. Because again, we were three games away from the World Series last year. Hello. And we sit here today, six games below 500, well out of the wild card picture, really. But you could still hold on to hope that they could catch fire and grab that spot. And even if they do, my whole thing is, even if they do, for what? You know, don't we have an idea of what this team is? And even if they get on a little bit of a run and go on a run, usually in baseball, that's the sport where you hear it said all the time, you get in the playoffs, anything could happen. There should be an asterisk by that quote. You get into the playoffs and anything could happen, unless you're the 2025 Cleveland Guardians. Because we kind of know what you are.
So you just named off 5 to 6 players. I mean, we basically just named off all these question marks with everybody on the roster outside of Steven Kwan and Jose Ramirez. And yet I still listen to the post game. I don't even know why I do at this point, of Steven Vogt. And I hear him say the same damn thing.
Dude, you would think Steven Vogt right now is managing like the 90s Bulls with Michael Jordan. You would think he's managing like the, you know, the greatest show on turf.
It's because he still thinks he's managing 2024. And they're not. And the team is still operating like it's 2024. And it's not. It so clearly is not. I mean, you mentioned last night's game. Steven Vogt got his ass saved because of Angel Martinez. I mean, he made some of the worst managerial decisions last night, going to Matt Festa out of the gate after Joey Cantillo put together a really good quality start on a pitch count, and Festa does what a guy that you traded cash for does. He blew the lead like that.
Packed show here on Overtime. It's Nick Pedone, Anthony Allant, hanging out with you guys till 11. We're really going to hit the cornucopia of Cleveland sports tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of guards. We're going to talk some Browns. We're going to hear from former Pro Bowl linebacker Joe Schobert, scheduled to join the program at 8 p.m. You don't want to miss that. In 1 hour, the Guardians are going to look to sweep the Houston Astros. Anthony and I are asking, does that even matter? We want to hear from you. 216-474-0092. It's Nick Pedone and Anthony Allant with you till 11 right here on The Fan. It's Cleveland Guardians manager Steven Vogt, audio courtesy of Guardians TV, who sounds like he's managing the 1998 New York Yankees.
At least he gave the caveat that he knows it's only two games.
He probably felt like he had to slide that in there.
Because he knew what he was saying.
He's like, I'm gushing about a team that is literally coming off a 10-game losing streak here. I'm talking about them like they're the hottest thing since sliced bread. I better dial it back here and remind everybody that I know that it's only been two games.
Steven Vogt's not dumb. He knows what's going on. He knows the lineup that he's putting out every night. He knows that there's nothing that he can do.
Yeah.
He played baseball for 10 years in the major leagues. He was a AAA guy. He knows. He looks around that clubhouse and goes, man, a lot of these people should be in Columbus right now, but I'm going to have to start him in right field because what the hell? That's what that's what the spreadsheet says.
Mm.
That's what that front office has given me.
Mm.
And no move I can make this year is giving me any sort of help, just like they were last year.
Mm. Fighting words there from Anthony Lynn. I mean, I don't disagree with you. Steven Vogt, that is the nice part about Steven Vogt, right? 40-year-old manager, last played baseball in 2022. The game is still very much fresh to him, right? So, like, he's not some dummy. He knows that what he's working with isn't great. He knows that most of these guys belong on the Columbus Clippers, if not the Akron Rubber Ducks. But the question that I want to throw out to the fans here tonight, what matters to you for the Cleveland Guardians now? What would get you back in on the Guards? Because they've won two in a row. Obviously, that means nothing when you come off losing 10 straight where you looked so bad and you look so lifeless. What would get you back in on the Guards? For me, Anthony, I think I would be in on the Guards, really in on the Guards. If they
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kept this momentum up throughout the month of July. And at some point, and by some point, I mean really like the week after the MLB All-Star break here, we see one of Dellotto or Kafis. And they start to turn it on. And they start to look really good. Like, I need to see some sort of momentum into the trade deadline, into the end of the month, for me to feel really good about the Guardians, for me to be back in on the Guards.
So the bringing up the prospects thing is interesting to me because I have been calling for these guys along with the rest of Cleveland for most of the season. Barring an injury, Chase Dellotto would have made it to the major league roster and they likely wouldn't have traded for Nolan Jones.
Right.
Any day now that they decide to call up these guys, it's going to feel like however many days too late.
Yep.
Because they're past the Super 2 deadline. They're past the month of June. And if the timeline, the plan or whatever that they set out at the beginning of the season was, well, after the All-Star break, after the trade deadline, plans change, buddy. And you didn't adjust on the fly. And you let Jonathan Rodriguez play out the string like this. You let all of these guys play out the string. So it's not even going to hit the same for me because I'm going to think about when they come up and if they do succeed, how we could have been doing this all a month ago.
Yeah. And, you know, you're 100% right about that because fans are going to have their way when that news does come. Like, let Chase Dellotto get called up and look really good and start contributing to the team in a way where it's reflecting wins and it's reflecting results. The victory laps are going to be had by myself, by Anthony Allant, that we will say, well, it's great. Now you're back to 500. What could you have been if you would have made this move a month ago, a month and a half ago? Like, everybody's saying, like the people that cover the Clippers, the people that really know baseball, are saying Chase DeLauter's ready to go. He's got nothing else to prove. The injury stuff even is in the rearview mirror. Like, he has worked his way up into becoming an everyday major league outfielder. So it's time for him to get up here. And I think I'd be back in on the Guardians if he gets up here, if he looks really good. But it's not just him, because I'm not calling on a 23-year-old to save my season. I feel like that's completely unfair. That's an unfair expectation for Chase DeLauter to come in here and just flip the entire offense on his head. I need the rest of the guys to start contributing at the same clip that they were last year. When Kyle Manzardo returns back into the lineup, I need him to wake up. You know, Martinez needs to be the same Martinez that we saw last night. Bo Naylor, I get that catchers aren't really hitting above 220 these days, but could we please have a home run maybe once a month would be something different than what you're giving us right now? Like, there are ways for the Guardians to get back in the good graces of the fans, even if they are sellers at the trade deadline. We'll talk about the MLB trade deadline a little bit later in the show. Also, Joe Schobert, former Browns Pro Bowl linebacker, scheduled to join us here in 30 minutes. But for now, we're asking you, the fans, what would get you back in on the Cleveland Guardians? 216-474-0092 is that number to join the conversation. Let's go out to Ray in Cleveland. You're first up on the fan. Ray, got some thoughts on the guards?
Yes, thanks for having me, guys. Good evening. So upon the last few games, especially with Detroit, fingers being swept and demoralized, getting down to the gutter of it, I think Class A has to go. He is no saver. He is a destructor of our team. I've spent many of the games this season in the Carnegie Club. We've been demoralized. The top-notch fans are unsatisfied. I rubbed shoulders with Coach. He looks so mad every time I see him. There are talks being had behind back, but right now the only hope lies in drastic cuts to our prominent players. So Posse's got to go. Luis Ortiz, he gave us a stigma we can't live with. We aren't cheaters. So there's just a lot going on that I think needs to be cut from the bud, and perhaps our chemistry will grow. I think Kwan is demoralized. I think he can't function with this chemistry. Ramirez is tired. So there is hope, but it's going to come with drastic cuts.
Well, Ray, congrats on your success with the Carnegie Club and rubbing shoulders with Stephen Vogt.
Thanks for the call. And some insight. Did we have some breaking news there on the fan that they're working through trades from Ray in Cleveland?
Emmanuel Clase is still one of the best closers in baseball. I don't know if Ray was up for it last night, but he closed out that game yesterday. Like, I know he hasn't been in a Cy Young sub one ERA candidate this season, but he's still pretty damn good, and he's still going to net you a massive return if you trade him because he's still a fantastic closer. Like, the April and May, it seems like Ray watched April and May and then just retreated into the Carnegie Club and never came out. I'm sure the food and drinks are there good.
And the thing about the Carnegie Club, and again, we congratulate Ray in Cleveland on all of his success. The thing about the Carnegie Club, I've been down there once. You do have the tendency, like the food, it just keeps coming. So you have the tendency to get pulled away from your seats and you just want to hang out down there in the air conditioning. It's very cool. It's very nice. It's a lot of glass. The lighting is very low. It's kind of intimate. And you can it allows you to forget about the product that you're watching on the field. You know, to his point there, though, I do wonder, like, if you hooked Stephen Kwan up to a lie detector, if you hooked Jose Clase up to lie, like, they're frustrated too. You know, mm-hmm. He used the word demoralized. I'd probably say that's not too far off. Like, when you lose 10 in a row in any sport, it's demoralizing. It takes a lot out of you. And to show up to the ball yard the next day, you're not exactly probably jumping out of bed to go ahead and get ready to play another 9 innings of baseball when things aren't going your way. But the thing is, evidently, the only guys that can turn this thing around and make this season into something are the guys in the clubhouse, because we're not going to have the type of trade deadline that's going to shake up this roster in a significant way in terms of major league players. Like, if they sell Carlos Santana, Lane Thomas, even Emmanuel Clase, you're looking at more prospects at the MLB trade deadline. You're also not going to do the thing, evidently, where you call up DeLauder, Brito, Kafis all at once to have some sort of offensive support from the minor leagues. So if you're not getting the support from the minors, and you're also not getting the support via trade deadline where you're likely to be sellers, the only guys that could shake what this season has been are 1 through 9 tonight against Houston. It's the bottom five. It's Rodriguez. It's Wilson. It's Rocchio. It's Bo Naylor. It's Austin Hedges. Like, those are the guys, unfortunately, that we have to cling on to hope for, Anthony Elant, that could lead us back to the MLB playoffs via wild card.
So, and I get what you are saying about having those young guys up that we've all been clamoring for would get you back into it a little bit and get the fans back into it a little bit. But my thing, and you just mentioned, and Ray just said in his call, they're demoralized. Yep. These veterans that were in the ALCS last year looking around like, holy cow, we're closer to the bottom of the league than we are a playoff spot right now. Why did they have to wait until it got this bad for something like this to happen? And that's why I don't feel like bringing up any of these young guys that we've been clamoring about are going to make me buy back in all the way, because you let the season slip away and you did not have to do it this way. By the way, Chase DeLauder just hit another home run in Columbus. You did not have to wait until this happened and things were that bad and you had a 10-game losing streak to get the young guys up and rejuvenate everybody a little bit.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I don't disagree with you at all. Because they've had nothing but time. They've had nothing but opportunity. I mean, there was a time about a month ago where you could have been in control of the American League Central Division. Like, you were right there, neck and neck with Detroit. And because of the stubbornness, because of, for whatever reason, the refusal to deviate from the plan that they have for Chase DeLauder, CJ Kafis, and these young guys in Columbus that could and should be contributing to the big club, we're stuck here 6 games below 500, repeating the same questions, asking how we got here, trying to figure out where we go from here. So let me ask you this. Is there anything they could do as a fan to get you back in on this season? Or is this season, in your eyes, as we sit here July 9th, a complete wash?
Barring some miracle comeback after that month of July and how bad it was, once they slip below 500, I felt like it was a lost season.
Yeah.
Especially because I knew, like you mentioned, you're not going to go out at the deadline and get anybody. And these rookies are going to come up and probably struggle, and they're going to have to go back down to AAA. And that's fine, but that's just the progression of a rookie coming up to the big leagues. Like, there's no help coming. They have this same mantra. They have the same approach to hitting, to pitching, and nothing is going to change. And it's why we've had the conversation a little bit around the station of, should a change to the front office come? Mike Chernoff and Chris Antonetti are fantastic. They put together a consistent winner with absolute scraps that they've been given by the owner. But something needs to change. You heard it there with Stephen Vogt. He has been hired as a mouthpiece for this organization to help continue their analytically driven approach that they never, ever, ever deviate from. They had a change at hitting coach, and they decided to promote from within. And you're seeing night in and night out with these young guys that are called up, there's no development with them.
Well, it feels like changes, they are certainly coming straight ahead. It's time for a bit of an uncomfortable trade deadline conversation. Who should get moved for the Cleveland Guardians, and how far should they sell? Just how much should be sold off? And hey, Nick Pedone, Anthony Elant, we might mention some of your favorite players. We want to hear from you as well. 216-474-0092. We get ready for the MLB trade deadline straight ahead right here on The Fan.
Absolutely. I mean, every team goes on good and bad runs. We had a 10-game losing streak. That's what's true. What also is true is we're a very good team, and there's a lot of season left.
No, you're not. You're not a good team. You're 6 games below 500, Steven. Sorry.
That's Cleveland Guardians manager Stephen Vogt. Well, that was Anthony Elant yelling at Cleveland Guardians manager Stephen Vogt. That audio was courtesy of Guardians TV. Stephen Vogt continues to preach that the 2025 version of the Guardians are a good team. We'll open the phones to you guys. 216-474-0092. Are the Cleveland Guardians a good team? Joe Schobert, former Cleveland Browns linebacker, set to join us here on Overtime in just 20 minutes. Nick Pedone, Anthony Allant, hanging out in studio with me till 11 tonight. Guardians trade deadline, you know, it's getting time, right? Like, they've won two in a row, yes, but they're coming off the 10-game losing streak. We're almost in, you know, we're getting into the meaty part of July here. And you got to start to talk about what is this team going to do at the deadline. And I think there's the obvious names that have been thrown out there that will continue to be thrown out there, and for good reason. Lane Thomas, who has contributed really nothing this entire year. Obviously, the savior of this season last year, the trade deadline acquisition last year that actually helped the Guardians in the playoffs. So, proven outfield bat that really just has had the textbook definition of a down year with the Guards. He's currently on the IL. You're not going to see him for another couple weeks as we get even closer to that trade deadline. So we'll continue to hear about Lane Thomas. We'll continue to hear about Carlos Santana, who's done a good job manning first base. I think Carlos has done everything that we imagined Carlos Santana would do when they made that announcement that he would be back on the same day that the trade went down for Andreas Giménez. And, you know, you kind of were wondering what they were doing, and Carlos Santana, okay, at least you get a vet back in the mix, and that's a bat that could replace Josh Naylor and that trade that had gone down. Those are the two obvious ones, right? But there's some not so obvious ones. And, you know, Ray in Cleveland, who had some sort of inside source kind of noted on the phones that, you know, Emmanuel Clase is going to probably become one of the biggest names around the MLB trade deadline. I'll go out there right now and say, I think Emmanuel Clase will become the most in-demand player at the MLB trade deadline, which is great news for the Cleveland Guardians. Like, say what you want about Emmanuel Clase. He's not having the Cy Young candidacy year that he was coming off of last year, and maybe what happened in the playoffs to him had some sort of negative effect, but when you look at his whole body of work for this season, Manuel Clase still one of the best, if not the best, closer in baseball. Had a really shaky start to the season, had a couple uh-ohs ever since. But for the most part, Manuel Clase is what you're looking for in a closer. And what do teams that are contending for World Series usually buying at the MLB trade deadline? Closers. And you know, good, reliable relievers. Think back to when the Cleveland Indians, you know, understood that they were in a prime position to make a run through the MLB playoffs and into a World Series conversation. They went out there and got Andrew Miller. And what did that mean for the Indians at the time? Same thing here with Emmanuel Clase. I think he's going to kind of come out of this month as the most attractive buy candidate for teams looking to acquire a closer. And that should be good news for the Guards, because that means they're going to get a nice little haul for Emmanuel Clase that they might not have gotten over the winter because of how bad Clase was in the playoffs. Maybe he's improved himself enough because the full body of work has been that good. You're going to get a couple of major league ready prospects. You're going to get a couple of, you know, wild card dart throw prospects in a package for one Emmanuel Clase. But also, I think there's something to be said about the Guardians kind of going into a little bit of a transition mode, right? Because if you're going to sell Lane Thomas, if you're going to sell Carlos Santana, that's the moves that's going to pave the way for DeLauder and Kafis to be up here with the big club and to get consistent at bats throughout the month of August and September. You got to get those guys and the deadweight vets out of here in order for DeLauder and Kafis to have any sort of stability and consistency at the big league level. That brings me to Clase, though, because don't we all believe that Cade Smith is the closer in waiting for this organization? Well, you can't be the closer in waiting forever, or else you're just the setup guy. You know, like, and that's the story that we're working with Cade Smith here. Emmanuel Clase's under club control for a minute. That's what makes him so valuable to the Guardians organization. That's also what will make him valuable for teams out there that are interested in Emmanuel Clase. So now is probably the time to move off Clase, to move off.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Santana to move off Lane Thomas, because it's not like you're selling and you're waving the white flag on the season. It's that you're selling and you're embracing and accepting a new identity that, candidly, Anthony, they probably should have identified and accepted months ago.
I would say selling Emmanuel Clase is the white flag.
Okay.
Carlos Santana and Lane Thomas makes it, although at this point, they're probably just going to have to stick with Lane Thomas and let him walk, and maybe you can bring him back on a discounted deal.
That's
because
the thing. Who's trading anything for this guy?
Like, he might not. I have no idea how serious that plantar fasciitis thing is. It has now landed him on the injured list two straight times. He might not even be healthy and ready to go by July 31st. Like, he might be out the entire month of July, and then you're just sort of stuck with, well, he got injured at the wrong time, and we're just going to have to let him walk and hope that we can get him back in free agency this year. But if you're selling Emmanuel Clase, somebody who you said has a lot of team control left on, even for the Guardians, a really team-friendly discount, it's $5 million, and I'm okay paying my closer if he really is that good, up to $10 million.
And let me tell you, if the Guardians are okay with it, there's probably 29 other teams in baseball that would be okay with paying Emmanuel Clase that money.
So why? And I've seen some of the trade packages that they've thrown out for Clase, and the idea is you get a young, controllable bat that you can plug right into the lineup, and he's a solid. I mean, Andy Páez, Jared Durant, like, those are guys that you can plug and play, and they are ready to go for the next 5 years. But I really disagree with the idea that selling Clase isn't waving the white flag. That's where it starts for me.
Well, I mean, it probably is waving the white flag on the season. But here's the thing. You and I are both under the same belief that this season, even if they find the pie in the sky way to make the playoffs via the wild card, we kind of know what this season is, right? Like, this season should be about the kids. This season should be about the youth movement. And I think Kate Smith should be a part of that. I obviously, I'm not saying that losing Emmanuel Clase is addition by subtraction. Maybe I believe that to be true with Lane Thomas and Carlos Santana, because I believe that the guys they have in waiting at those positions are just flat out better, or could be flat out better, in Chase DeLauter and CJ Cephas. I don't necessarily believe that to be true with Emmanuel Clase. I think Cade Smith is a more than capable closer when he gets those opportunities, and will continue to be that for this organization. But I look at Emmanuel Clase, right, Anthony? That's a guy that I know that I could move off of and maybe address some of the other issues on this roster. Could Emmanuel Clase get me a prospect at second base? Could Emmanuel Clase get me a catcher that could hit 20 home runs in a season? Is that too much to ask for? Like, I think Emmanuel Clase could be my lottery ticket out of the hell that this front office has kind of created for Guardians fans. I think Emmanuel Clase could get them closer to doing what they've done over the last couple years, and that's riding the roller coaster of having a really down year and then having a really up year. Because if you could trade Clase for some major league prospects that are ready to go and just waiting for their breakthrough. And you get those guys on the field with Kafis and DeLauder and Brito. And if all those guys hit, you are right back in the driver's seat in the American League Central, ready to gun with the Detroit Tigers for this division and back to the playoffs again next year. But I just think sitting on Emmanuel Clase is kind of sitting on your biggest asset that you can sell off because you have a viable replacement behind him, if that makes sense.
Do you think DeLauder's the right fielder of the future? Probably. Hopefully.
I would hope. I hope. I want to at least find out, and I'd like to at least find out within the month.
Okay. All right. So go with me on this. So CJ Kafis, your first baseman, DH with Kyle Manzard of the future.
Sure. I'll
move with that. Juan Brito, a middle infield option.
I'll move with that. Sure.
Still got to figure out. I know that's a defensive step back from some of these other guys, but you know, you have enough other middle infield guys that you can plug and play in there. Cooper Engel hopefully will be ready at some point next season. If you believe all of that, why, and you believe that they are up and down, why would you then trade your closer that's going to help you get to the playoffs, hopefully for the net in 2026 and beyond?
Because I still need, like, of all those problems that we've just solved, I still need a center fielder. I still probably need a DH pending whatever becomes of David Fry. Like, I still have some questions. I still don't feel great because that's also operating under the guise that all of DeLauder, Kafis, Brito, Cooper Engel, who's currently in Double A Akron, that's operating under the guise that all of those guys hit, and they all hit in somewhat short order where we can escalate this thing to be a playoff team again next year. I don't know that to be true. I hope that maybe of DeLauder, Kafis, Brito, one of those guys hits and becomes a legitimate MLB bat. I'll be happier than pig in mud, you know, because we're starved for a guy that we've developed in this farm system that could just get out there and rake. We really are.
If you really want to see this, and I get what you mean. I totally understand, like, not... I'm a little more that maybe these prospects can work out, even though I've said for the first 40 minutes of this show that I'm pissed off at all of them for not working out so far. If you really want to see this season tank and then raise the white flag, you trade Emmanuel Clase at the deadline. In the offseason, if you feel like Cade Smith is your closer from day one of 2026, I can buy into that. But if he's your closer and waiting, I don't want to force him into a role that he's maybe not ready for. And then you also don't have those young guys or veteran guys that you're going to sub in for that eighth inning role.
I'm a bit jaded too, because I've done that. Like, I've sold myself on so many prospects in just the last 5 years. That, like,
so if you trade Clase, it's going to be more prospects that you're going to have to sell yourself on.
And that's the thing. But that's the only way that this team is going to break through. Because, like, we've sold ourselves on the Bobby Bradleys and the Owen Millers. And I really pray that Kafis and DeLauder aren't that. I hope that they're cut from a different cloth. I hope that the reason that we haven't seen them yet in the big club is because the organization knows that they're special, and not that the organization knows that they're closer to Bobby Bradley than they are an actual major league at bat. But again, we don't know that until we see those guys up here with the big club, which is why make like a frog and hop to it. Because if we knew that DeLauder and Kafis were really good, maybe I do have a different belief about trading Emmanuel Clase at the deadline. On the inverse, if we knew that they were really bad, we're probably sitting here both agreeing that, yeah, you should probably trade Emmanuel Clase at the deadline because you're going to need more young prospects. Well, the Guardians are getting ready to get started in Houston, looking for that sweep against the Astros. It's time for us to switch some gears on Overtime to talk some Browns. We're going to go down memory lane with former Cleveland Browns Pro Bowl linebacker Joe Schobert. He's got some thoughts on Myles Garrett. He's got some old Browns memories, and he's got some thoughts on what the team might do this year. It's Overtime with Nick Pedone and Anthony Allant. The Joe Schobert joins us in 5 minutes right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.